Lord, we ask you just bless the reading of your word and help us to receive what you would have us to receive. Thank you, Jesus. God showed me something in Psalm 119, verse 1, where it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 1. And he said, and I got all excited, and I just felt like he said, "I want you to write this down," because he said, "Here I'm saying that folks can live in the continual blessing up under my wing, close up to my heart." And that's where God wants. He wants us to live in a place like if you had a good relationship with a father or a mother, it's nice when everything's right with you and them, right? Well, that's what God's wanting, and he wants to bless us as if we were Jesus himself. He wants to give us that. So in this verse, who is our God talking to? Verse 1, Psalm 119. Who is our God talking to? He's talking to the undefiled in the way. What is his part? He's going to bless us. What is our part? See, he's already made us undefiled. We'll talk about that. But it's people that are in the way, in God's way. Not like get out of the way, but in God's way. And they're desiring and walking in God's law. So who are the undefiled? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then he makes this incredible statement. "And such were some of you." This is 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." The question was, who are the undefiled in this verse? The undefiled, because we were all defiled, were we not? And Jesus made us undefiled. So think about that. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. We were defiled and we were under a curse. Our lives were a curse. We weren't living. We were walking dead. Things didn't go right. We were not privy or, what? How else would I say it? We were not somebody that deserved or had any right to the blessings of God. But then because of Jesus, he became a curse for us, so that the curse could be taken from us. I just think it's amazing. So, are we now undefiled who once were defiled by sin? Yes. See, it's not just being forgiven. It's him saying, it's like taking something that's completely useless, defiled, dirty, it's ready to be thrown away, and restoring it, cleaning it up, and making it useful again, and then even making it start to restore it to what it once was made, or how it was made originally before it got defiled. And that's what God has done with us. Have we been eternally forgiven? So this is important what I'm getting ready to say. You may already think, I already know this, but there's a level in it I think God's wanting to take us. Have we been eternally forgiven through Jesus' blood? So think about this. Do we really know that? Do we actually believe him when he says that we are forgiven? Okay? Because, like I was talking to some people yesterday about forgiveness, and I said something about forgiving yourself, and they said, that's hard. And I said, I want you to remember, Jesus was beaten for you. You don't need to beat yourself up anymore. Jesus was beaten for you. You don't need to beat yourself up. Hebrews 10:10, it says, by the which will, or God's will, we are sanctified, set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. I like what he taught me a long time ago about that word confess. To say the same thing God says and to mean the same thing God means. If we confess our sin, open, honest, real, vulnerable, and transparent, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Makes us undefiled. Makes us clean in the sight of God. If we're clean in God's sight, should we not be clean in our own sight? That's why the other day when I said, I really like my sense of humor. In my life, I've had a lot of rejection. I know y'all haven't noticed, but I'm a very aggressive, outgoing, outspoken, opinionated, strong-willed person. Y'all thought I was like laid back, easy going. Really, I'm not. You know, and so I've had a lot of rejection, and though in pride probably it was like I could say, well, that's just your problem, you know, but it still affects you and it hurts you and it makes you like, I would go, why do I do what I do? I don't even know why I do what I do. I just do what I do, you know? And as God's worked in me and whatever, and what he's been doing in me, because I can know truths. Have you ever noticed that you can speak a truth, but it's not like you really own it down here? You want it to be true, but you have a hard time believing it. What I've been finding is, I like myself more than I ever have. I didn't always like myself. You know, I may have acted like I did, but there was times because of other things that people said. Well, we all go through that. We all go through that. But what does God say about us? And what did he do for us so that we could be undefiled? 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate or an attorney with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. What does that word propitiation mean? I'm glad you asked. It means satisfactory payment. So let's read it that way. And he, Jesus, is a satisfactory payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So who are the undefiled? We are. Who is this promise made to in this verse? To the undefiled. To us. It's not made to everybody. It's made to us. Now, do we really believe that and take comfort in that and find our peace there? Look at Romans 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now, not later, not when we get to heaven, now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They desire to live in the Spirit. They desire to please the Father of spirits. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, because our flesh could not keep the law, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in our flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I don't know if you heard me say this or if I was telling other people this, but everybody on the planet is either looking toward God or they've got their back to God. They're either moving toward God or moving away from God. When even when we get saved, when a person gets saved and Jesus cleans them up, forgives them, they're birthed into the family of God. I love all these things that happen when we get saved. Okay? I just love thinking about them. When we become a part of the family of God, we used to have a children's home that would come up to our church and sing every year. They would bring them up from Florida and they would sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Now, there's all these little, orphans singing, They sounded better than that, but it was so neat just seeing all these little kids sing at the top of their lungs. I'm so glad, because they didn't have a family. They were abandoned. Nope, I'm fine. It's just one of those things I don't like. Thank you. So Jesus made us part of his family. And we're thankful for that. And that's what we need to remember, is this whole thing of what he's done for us. Because he says, I want to bless you. And this is who he wants to bless. But even when we become a part of his family, we have a choice every day, all day. Are we going to walk in the flesh? Are we going to just seek to please the flesh? Are we going to live according to our carnal thinking by what we can see and what we feel? Or are we going to walk in the Spirit and follow God and depend on him and be humble and hang out with him? So let me ask you, let me just give you some questions that I'm asking you that would help you and I to be blessed by God the way he wants us to be. Do we humbly and gratefully thank Jesus daily and even more often than that for what he has made possible for us? I loved when we were praying this morning and hearing Brother Glenn, I want to thank you for this and I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for this. And that's what God blesses, is thankfulness. And like I'll tell people all the time on the phone, because I say things to make them laugh or smile or whatever, and I say, and they like it, and they laugh. I start almost every conversation off with a laugh. And they say how they like it, and then I say, we can either go through life complaining and grumbling or with a smile. And they almost always say, I like it, the smile part, or whatever, however it gets said. And that's what I want. And it's like, because I got to keep my focus on God, because whenever I take my focus off God and I try to look at things the way they are, or try to figure out why people did or said or treated me some way or whatever, you know, why they drive on my side of the road. It's a passing lane, for crying out loud. You're not passing, get out of my way, you know. Then, when I take my focus off God, I'm not in his blessing. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm focused on the wrong thing. But God says, I want to bless you. And he said, these people are blessed. Number one, the undefiled, those that have been born again. I'm going to read these verses to you real quick. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we acknowledge that we owe our very lives to him, our very eternity? Do we give him thanks and express our deep appreciation, realizing the disastrous results if Jesus had not found us and rescued us? Do we express to our Savior how much we love him, enlist the numerous attributes that we admire in him? I love telling him how much, I love telling him what I love about him. So number one, blessed are the undefiled. So we talked about that. In the way, in God's way, seeking his way, desiring his way. If we look without grace, without Jesus in the Bible, at any commandments or Old Testament, we take a burden unto ourselves because nobody can keep the law. Nobody can do everything the way that it should be done. Okay? Nobody can do that. But do you desire his ways? Do you desire the life of God? Do you desire what pleases him? Do you desire that? And when you mess up, do you fess up? When you mess up, do you tell him, God, I messed up. I didn't have the right attitude. I didn't have the right motive. I didn't have the right words. I didn't have the right actions. Will you please forgive me? Do you know what Jesus, I'm trying to help you with your everyday life. Do you know what Jesus says whenever you say, in honesty, in humility, Jesus, I messed up, I sinned, I this, I that, and I shouldn't have done that. Will you please forgive me? Do you know what his answer is? I can prove his answer, okay? His answer is, of course I will. I've been just waiting for you to ask. I already paid for it. Now watch this. A little while ago, Roxanne said, I liked it when I was baking because every time I turned around, God was there. And I kept thinking, she shouldn't have been looking the wrong way. I'm only kidding. Have you ever noticed this? Because to me, this is huge. Whenever you come back to God, where is he? He's right there. You mean he's not across the room? He doesn't look like this, stamping his feet, giving you the look like other people. I've noticed every single time I turn to God, every single time he's God. Every single time I turn to God, that's it. He's right there with his arms wide open. Every single time. when I came to him as a drug dealer, Jesus, you died on the cross. I see it. You died on the cross for me. Will you please forgive me? He was right there. His presence. Right there. And I had $1,000 worth of drugs in my pocket. And here's Jesus. Right there. He's just waiting. If you want to get an idea of that, go over to, not right this minute, but go over to Luke 15. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember if it's the first half of the chapter or the second half right now. I can't remember. But it talks about the prodigal son. I think that's where it's talking about. And when the prodigal son returns, you know, he's in the pig pen. He's wasted all his dad's money that his dad gave his inheritance. He wasted his life. Nobody's caring for him. He doesn't have any friends, you know. And he's eating with the pigs. I mean, he's feeding the pigs and thinking, man, they're eating better than I am. In the Bible, I like the way the Bible says it. It says, when he came to himself. When he came to himself, he said, wait a minute. My father's servants are treated better than I am. They're living better than I am. I'm going to just bite the bullet and I'm going to go back and say, Dad, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but will you just let me be like one of the servants? He said, I'll eat better than this trash I'm eating here. And I know somebody will care for me. But when you look in that chapter, Luke 15, it says, when the prodigal, the wayward son, was coming back, the father was at the edge of the property, looking over, waiting. And as soon as he saw his son, he didn't stand there and make him come to him. The Bible says he ran to him and threw his arms around him and kissed him. And I mean, there's a whole lot there. What I like is that he ran to him and he kissed him. And that's our God. Is he's just waiting because he's right where we left him. And he loves us. And he never gives up on us. And he wants us. And it's so easy to get forgiveness and be and come back to peace with God. So we're looking at Psalm 119:1. Blessed are the undefiled, those that have been washed in the blood of Jesus. Because we were all defiled. But by the blood of Jesus, we are made clean. So it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, in God's way, seeking his way, desiring his way. Psalm chapter 1, we're going to read the whole psalm. It's only 6 verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't listen to ungodly people to base what they believe on, nor stands in the way of sinners, doesn't hang out with sinners to become like one of them, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now you understand that doesn't mean that we make ourselves better than them. It's just like we want to influence them for Jesus, not let them influence us for the devil. But that man's delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away, like an old dry leaf. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment or stand before God, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God desires to bless us. How do we get his blessings? Blessed, he makes us a promise. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk. Their desire is his way. So they are very careful to guard their steps, realizing their tendency to defile his way, to defile God's way by following our own heart and thoughts. You know the verse, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. So they wisely learn to depend on their God. They continually draw back to lean on his breast and seek his advice and learn to do that increasingly until it becomes an every moment thing. Do you know what 1 Chronicles 16:11 says? 1 Chronicles Old Testament. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. And then it talks about the last thing about how to be blessed of God is they walk in the law of the Lord. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, this word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When I was reading that verse, Psalm 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. God is like, all I want is you. I remember when after I got saved, and it took close to a year for God to get me in church, you know, move me up north there. And I got in church, and then I got baptized, and it was like getting right with God. You know what I'm saying? And because I'd got saved, but I wasn't doing things God's way. God has a plan. You get saved, you get baptized, you join the church, you become a disciple, you learn to submit, you learn to serve. It's just, it's a process. And we all go through the same thing. And we can slow down the process or speed it up, depending on how much we yield to that. But I remember when I got in church, I got baptized, I was just like excited. And I said, God, I just want to give you something. And he said these words, all I want is you. And I said, no, you scraped me out of a gutter. I mean, I'd just been a drug dealer. Matter of fact, I'd just been smoking dope shortly before this, drinking beer. And I'm like, no, I want to give you something good. And you know what he said? All I want is you. And it didn't matter how I argued with him. Isn't that funny how we argue with God? Are we dumb or what? Anyway. And it didn't matter how I argued with God. He just simply said, all I want is you. He is so easy to please. He'll take us wherever we're at, wherever we're coming out of, whatever we're still involved in, and he'll just start working with us right there and let us move at our own rate of speed. And when he sees us messing up, getting in pride, whatever it is, he just keeps telling us, all I want is you. All I want is you. All I want is you. He said that's what he wants. He says, because I choose my desire, I want to bless you as if you were Jesus himself. I want you to be my child. I want to give you isn't that what you want for your kids? That's what he wants for his kids. Jesus, you are so kind. Thank you for allowing us again to be a part of your life. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this time together. And Lord, may this just be a blessed day. Thank you for each person that's here, and we ask for your richest blessing on each life. And we say thank you, Jesus. Amen.